Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, what's up? Here's Jaden Daniels, end zone!
Who's better than Mike Tirico?
Nobody.
Grant and Danny on the fan. Linnell's in today as the Commanders and the rest of the teams in town are trying to build a foundation for success on and off the field. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Kenorian Murad, is going to help you update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family, square away your future. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Go to kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. They're going to take good care of you. You can watch the show on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page all the way up to 6:30. You can listen wherever you're going on the Odyssey app. Take us with you into the grocery store, whatever you got going on as you knock some things off the to-do list. Or, of course, just listening on 106.7 The Fan's flagship as you drive around or you're at home on your smart device. However you're checking us out, we appreciate it. We've had a huge show already celebrating a playoff berth. You've heard from left tackle Brandon Coleman, cornerback Noah Igbinoghene, and wide receiver Jamison Crowder. Austin Eckler stops by in 1 hour at 6 o'clock. But right now, on the guest hotline, we welcome onto the show the former head coach here in D.C.
My hero.
Who took this team to the playoffs in 2015, Jay Gruden. Jay, welcome back on G&D. What's going on?
What's going on, Jay?
Not a whole lot, man. It was a hell of a win last night. It's fun to watch. This team is never a dull moment, that's for sure.
Oh, it was an awesome victory, no doubt about it. A lot to get to, but let's just start with Daniels. I'll let you paint with a broad brush first. What'd you think?
Well, I thought he was incredible. You know, the first half, they had some struggles with penalties and sacks, got in some long yardage situations, and, you know, only had 7 points at the half, and things could have unraveled a little bit. But like Jaden Daniels has done, he just kept his poise and stuck with the plan and made some plays when he had to. When plays weren't there, he made them. When they were there, he made them. He just continues to, you know, just show the world that he's one of the top quarterbacks in the National Football League and will be for a very long time.
Jay, one thing that I continue to be impressed with, especially now that Washington's had some injuries at the wide receiver position, is how Cliff Kingsbury continues to scheme open the most jag of wide receivers in the NFL. It's no disrespect to Zacchaeus, Crowder, and those guys, but his ability to scheme them open has been super impressive. What changes have you seen them make here kind of post-bye week to kind of get the other guys, so to speak, involved more?
He utilizes their formation as well as personnel grouping as well. Does some good things down the field to get some spacing, which is very important. You know, it's very hard to play tight man-to-man against Washington because of the ability of Jaden to run. Unless you have a spy out there, then he can only rush three guys, or maybe you have to take away your whole play or something like that to spy Jaden, and that opens up lanes as well. Just Jaden puts a lot of pressure on defensive coordinators. You want to play eyeballs on the quarterback, then Cliff Kingsbury dials up good zone beaters. If he wants to play man-to-man, Jaden can hurt you with his legs. So I think both Cliff and Jaden have an answer for what the defenses are trying to do. So hats off to both of them.
What do you make as a play caller and just a guy watching games, you know, who designs offense, of the hero ball that Daniels can play, where You know, on that final drive, I don't have a better way to describe it. It's just like high school football. Like, he just becomes an athlete, and he's like, I'm just going to run a lot. I mean, it was 6 for 42. There were a couple design runs, but it was mostly just scrambles where he just decided he was hell-bent on leaving the pocket. He ran 16 times for $1.27 in the game. Like, what did you make of him just kind of going, this is how I'm going to do it?
I've just been impressed with the decisions he makes. When it's time to run, he runs. If nobody's open, if Cliff didn't design a good enough player, guys weren't able to uncover or find the open zones or get open in man-to-man, Jaden makes a great decision to run it, and it's a productive play. It's just been unbelievable when you just put the tape on. It's like he doesn't make any bad decisions. If the throw's there, he throws it. If it's not there, he'll tuck it and run it and make a positive play out of something. You know, they got in trouble in the first half because of the holding calls and about 2 or 3 blown protections. Caught him in long yardage situations, but when he's dropping back the pass, the play's there, it's going to be there. He's going to throw it. If not, if somebody's a free runner or, you know, it's not there, he buys time with his legs, tries to find somebody, and then he'll run it and make a positive play out of nothing. So he's just an incredible player.
Jay, one of the things that concerned me going in, no De'Ami Brown, so you kind of lose another guy that can help you create explosives in the pass game, and we know how important that is when you're trying to move the football and score points routinely. Washington, though, Jay, in that third quarter, possessed the football. It was almost the entirety of the quarter. It was 14 minutes and 50 seconds, I believe. With them playing that way, like, do you think that is a sustainable brand of football, trying to crank out these 13, 14-play drives? Because it really only takes one mistake before you're behind the eight ball and now you need a Superman play. What did you think of their ability to possess the football?
Well, when you don't have penalties, you don't have negative plays, they have the ability to do that. In the first half, they tried to do that, but they had the negative plays and the penalties that put them in long yardage situations that it's almost impossible to convert. But when they don't have the penalties and they stay in 2nd and 5, 3rd and 3, this is a hard team to stop because of Jaden's ability to do the quarterback design runs, the RPOs, the zone reads, the play passes, and then his ability to run for positive plays when he's in a drop back passing mode. So, yeah, I mean, as long as they don't shoot themselves in the foot, this is a hard team to stop, and they can maintain that. You know, it's obviously very difficult to do. I think they're eventually going to have to make some explosives somewhere. Got to get Terry back going, get some big plays down the field, maybe a tight end leak play down the sideline, something. They need a chunk play here and there. Very hard to maintain this for 4 quarters of football to have 12, 15-play drives all the time. But if anybody can do it, they can do it because of Jade's ability to run and make plays on critical situations, 3rd and 4th down.
Jay Gruden is with us on Grant and Danny. They did make the playoffs in 2020, but that was the season where there was no crowd in the stands. They were a 7-win team that won a horrendous division. So for all intents and purposes for me, it's really the first legitimate playoff season since you were coaching in 2015. You know, what do you remember about that stretch? You guys didn't get to clinch at home. You had that primetime game against the Eagles on a Saturday night where Kirk threw for 360 and 4 touchdowns where you clinched. And then you obviously went to a home playoff game, went in the division, and you were up 11-0, I think it was, on Green Bay. Could have been more if Deshaun would have had some urgency to get into the end zone, but he really didn't want to. But what do you remember about kind of that whole sequence?
Well, I know we had a lot of ups and downs in that season. We started out pretty poorly, then obviously the big win, the Code Red game against Tampa Bay, kind of got our season going, and Kirk's confidence boosted into high level. Then he started playing extremely well, and we were hitting pretty good on offense. Defense started to play a little bit better. Then, you know, the Philadelphia game was just a wild game. About that end of half situation was a nightmare, and then trying to defuse all the problems at halftime was another situation worth a book writing episode maybe. But and then you know, obviously the Green Bay game was very disappointing. I thought that was the most electric the stadium was since I was a coach there. It was a great environment. Fans were going crazy. We just got out to a great lead, and then fizzled out a little bit. Aaron Rodgers made some plays, got a hard count, got a free play, got a first down, and then they scored. But it was a great season, I think, for Kirk and some of the younger players. It just showed that they had the ability to compete with the best.
The halftime thing you're referencing, that's got to be when Cousins, like, took the knee.
Oh, my God.
Because one of your receivers refused to run a route or something, right?
Yeah. And then, it was a hectic locker room. You know, it was a lot of yelling and screaming and pushing and shoving and trying to get everybody back into the frame of mind. Hey, we got another half to play. We got a division to win here, fellas. That was quite dramatic. But I can remember sitting next to Sean McVay on the plane on the way home, and we were all happy. We're in our NFC East championship pass, but we looked at each other like, "What the hell just happened?" That was a fiasco. But we got it done somehow.
That's hilarious. Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. So, Jay, what about I want to get into playoff permutations and things in a few minutes, but what about their natural running game? And does it matter with Jaden running the way that he is, going for a 127, you know, putting the team on his back? They, over the last 6 weeks, really the Titans game is the only time in terms of the traditional, like, Brian Robinson thumping between the tackles operation that they've actually run the ball effectively.
Yeah, that's a concern. That is, and, you know, the lack of other weapons outside of Terry moving forward. You know, obviously Jaden makes up for a lot of that with his ability to keep plays alive and rush for yards. But I think moving forward, I'd love to see him play Dallas this week and try to really reestablish some physicality up front, try to get the running game going so we have some positivity and some confidence going into that phase into the playoffs, because they're going to need it. You know, we can't just run around and hope Jaden scrambles for first. He probably can, but you'd like to have some kind of help and some kind of time where Jaden can just turn around and hand the ball off stress-free and gain 4 or 5 yards. That's going to be important. And when it's time for Jaden to make a play, he'll be fresh and ready to go. But, yeah, they need to get a boost from the running game. Hopefully they'll get one against Dallas this weekend.
Run defense has also been a major problem for this group, Jay. In the first half, Bijan Robinson looked like Herschel Walker, making people miss left and right. It was awesome to see. It felt like it's 4 and 5 yards before contact. With Washington's game plan, the way that they've tried to defend it the last 2 weeks is loading up the box, but it's putting these corners in really compromising, you know, circumstances and positions. Kenny Pickett couldn't beat you with his right arm. Mike Penix couldn't beat you with his left arm. When they get into the postseason, does that concern you, how they're going to choose to defend teams? Because it feels like right now they're kind of making you pick one or the other.
Yeah, that's a big concern moving forward, without a doubt. I hope Marshawn Lattimore gets back because he can match up with the likes of A.J. Brown or maybe a Puka Nacua on the outside if they have to play the Rams. But they're going to need somebody that can play corner, that can match up against the superstars, because they're going to have to stop the run. You know, the Rams run the ball extremely well with Kyron Williams. You think about Stafford and Puka, but really their last 3 or 4 games, they've been pounding the ball between the tackles. And in order to stop that, you have to load up the box a little bit and put your corners at jeopardy. So Lattimore's presence will help it. If he's not there, you know, they've had to deal with him, you know, the first 12 or 13 games. And you're right, it is a pick-your-poison type of thing. And corners are going to have to step up. St. Juice and the rest of the guys are going to have to step up and make some plays, obviously, because they have trouble stopping run. But in fairness to them, Saquon had a really good first half. They shut him down in the second half. And Bijan had a really good first half, but they really shut him down in the second half. So they made the necessary adjustments, but eventually they're going to have to rely on their corners and make some plays as well.
Do you agree with the premise that they're way better off going to L.A. to play the Rams than going back to Philly or to Detroit?
Yeah, that's a tough trip going all the way cross country. But I guess if you'd rather have your druthers, you'd rather play the Rams, I guess. You know, they have a very young defense, and their offensive line's not protecting Matthew very well, but they're running the ball pretty good. They have some familiarity with Philly. They played them twice, and they beat them once. So they have some confidence that they can beat Philadelphia. Obviously, Hurts didn't play the last 3 quarters, but still, a win's a win. Any game's going to be tough on the road. But I think from a matchup standpoint, I would guess the Rams would be probably – I would pick the Rams if I had to pick other than Philadelphia at Philadelphia. That's just my choice.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jay. It feels like, to me, you know, whoever they get matched up, I don't see them being a favorite come postseason time. But we'll see when we get there. Big picture NFL stuff here. It was a pretty interesting weekend. Saquon Barkley, Jay, is in a position right now where if he runs for 101 yards in the finale against the Giants, he gets the rushing record. If you were the head coach in this situation, are you pushing to get your guy the record, or are you preserving health for the postseason?
This is something you got to communicate with your team, because this is a big deal. These big guys up front really want this, I'm sure. I'm sure Saquon would love to get it at the Giants. But it's also very important for those guys to be healthy in the first playoff game, because, you know, I've been part of teams in Cincinnati and Philadelphia that, you know, you play that last game and you get banged up a little bit, then you play on a Saturday the next week on the road or whatever it is, and you're not quite a full tank of gas. So if you have the ability to sit some of your key players and get them full tank of gas for your first playoff game, it's very beneficial. However, This is a big deal, man. The rushing title's been around for a long time, and for him to have the ability to get that, I think it's up to the offensive line, and Saquon has the ultimate decision. Obviously, Sirianni has the ultimate decision, but yeah. That's a tough call. I don't really know what I would do, to be honest with you. That's a unique situation. I don't even know.
About to say, knowing the Eagles, they'd probably ask Big Dom to make the decision.
Yeah, Big Dom will call the shots. How about the MVP vote that Jay Gruden has, if you had one? Would it go to Lamar or Josh Allen? Right.
It's Josh Allen, and this is a horse race right now. Josh Allen's got the lead. The finish line is very close, but Lamar is closing. He's got big strides coming on the outside, so we need the wire quick. I'm going to tell you that right now. Lamar is charging, and Burrow, if they get in the playoffs, hell, he's on the inside closing a little bit too. So I've always been a big fan of what Jared Goff has done. Obviously, Saquon Barkley, but if it was my vote, it would be Josh Allen.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage, see and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
Jay, what would you do if you were the Vikings at quarterback with Darnold, McCarthy, and the scenario they've got unfolding now?
Well, I think Darnold has proven that he's worthy of getting a contract. If he doesn't get it there, he's going to get it somewhere else. There's five or six teams that are in dire need of a quarterback. And Sam Darnold winning 14 games at Minnesota. I know he's got a great supporting cast and a great play caller, but somebody's got to execute these plays, and he's made some big-time throws. So Darnold's going to get a contract. If I were Minnesota, I'd give it to him just because, you know, J.J. hasn't done any. He played one preseason game, got hurt. He's been on a shelf for the rest of the, you know.
So would you trade J.J. then, or would you keep him as well?
I keep J.J. another year and see where he's at and try to get him in the building. You can never have too many quarterbacks, really. I got him on a rookie deal, so it won't cost that much. But I would keep them both for another year, and at least what I would do. You know, I'm not familiar with J.J., what he did in training camp and his ability. But what Sam Darnold has done warrants him getting a contract. And I think Kevin O'Connell, you saw the way the team reacted when he walked in the locker room yesterday. So I think they're pretty much tied to Sam Darnold right now.
More on Darnold in the locker room. It just didn't look comfortable in that situation. It was real awkward, Jay. Like, he didn't know whether to be, you know, as hype as he should have been. It was a weird situation. I want to ask you about the pending decision this offseason that San Francisco is going to have to make when it comes to Brock Purdy. I continue to believe Kyle and San Francisco are going to be the first team that, you know, rotates quarterbacks every 5 years depending on their situation. I think they believe in their system, and they feel like that is what elevates the players, not the reverse. If you were in charge there in San Francisco, could you imagine opening up your checkbook and giving Brock Purdy $60 million per?
I mean, it's the going rate. I mean, I don't know what else you do. Who else they have? Who are you going to get? There's no quarterbacks in my mind that they're going to be able to get in the 15th pick of the draft or 18th pick, wherever they're going to pick. Free agency-wise, we just mentioned Sam Darnold's the top guy, and there's only a couple other guys. Maybe one of the Steeler quarterbacks will be free, but really, is that an upgrade from Kirk Cousins could be available? That's pretty costly. Kirk would be – I could see that happening because I know Kyle's always loved Kirk. That would be the most sense. If they didn't want to do Purdy, they could go ahead and get Kirk. But these teams that are messing around at the quarterback position, I know you might overpay a guy, and it doesn't make a lot of sense, but the alternative is not very good. You better have a young kid or somebody that can play it because the teams that have them are always in the playoffs, and the teams that don't are always looking for – a draft pick.
Jay, could you see the Commanders going on a playoff run, messing around and beating the Rams, and then, you know, whether it's Minnesota or a banged up Detroit defense, like possibly winning a couple playoff games?
Yeah, for sure. The way Jaden's playing right now, the way they possess the football, I don't think there's any doubt. You know, I think they'll have trouble with some of the teams like Detroit, Minnesota, obviously, with the way they can throw the ball and the receivers that they have with Hockenson and J.J. and Addison and this Naylor guy. I mean, he's pretty damn good. It'd be a tough matchup for him. But, you know, the other side of Minnesota's offensive line isn't that great, so they can get some pressure. So there's some matchups to be had against all those teams that are in front of them. Washington's going to be able to score. They're just going to have to figure out a way to get some stops, create some turnovers, and hell yeah, they can win.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate you giving us some time, my brother.
All right, man. Thank you, guys.
Jay Gruden with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. You're going to hear in about 40 minutes from Austin Eckler, the running back who has not played for Washington since an injury going back to the Cowboys game in Landover, Maryland. At that time, he was ruled out until at least the next Cowboys game, which is now Sunday, week 18 in Dallas. Is he going to play in that game? Could he be eligible and be back for the playoffs? We will ask him that coming up in about 35 minutes here on The Fan. But next, Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, offensively last night, made it work despite a bunch of injuries, losing two starters as the game went on up front on the offensive line. How'd they do it? This is The Fan.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Throughout this season, Jaden, you've been involved in a bunch of these games, and almost all of them have gone your way. And I think that initially we were all like, man, this guy's really calm. But at this point, it's just what I think we've all grown accustomed to expecting from you. Are you becoming even more calm in these moments? I mean, this is the National Football League, and you got a win to go to the playoffs, and you just look like it looks like it's nothing to me.
I try to stay the same daily, especially throughout the game. You know, I never get too high, never get too low, stay even killed. And even in these moments when it seems so big for everybody else, man, it's just another play.
Jaden Daniels, Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter after the game last night. Welcome back. Grant and Danny without Danny Linnell's in today on The Fan. Austin Eckler going to be on the show in a half hour. We'll try to get to the bottom of whether or not we could see him playing in the postseason, now that the Commanders have indeed clinched a playoff spot. Still plenty to be determined. Are they going to be the sixth seed, which is what they are right now? They control their own destiny to be the sixth seed and travel to the three, which would likely be the LA Rams. Are they going to be the seventh seed? And if that were to happen, they would lose to Dallas in week 18, which is unlikely. And then you've got to go to the two, and who is that? Is that Philly? Is that Detroit? I guess it wouldn't be Detroit anymore. Probably would be the Philadelphia Eagles, I guess, pretty much sealed up now.
Act three for Commanders and Eagles. I'll say this about just relative to the postseason. After talking to Jay, and I don't want to be cynical here. It's just I can't help but be in the moment. It's to me, I have real doubts and reservations about their ability to get stops in the postseason. Because as I said to Jay, the game plan defensively the past 2 weeks has been to stack the box, to stop the run, and essentially make the other team's quarterback beat you, and you lucked up and drew Kenny Pickett and Mike Penix Jr. in his second career start.
I would also point out they didn't stop the run last night.
And they
either.
Didn't.
I mean, they did by
keeping them off the field in that
third quarter. Well, that's true, but they never effectively held Bijan Robinson in any kind of a
Superman.
Way. He had 90 yards on 17 attempts. He had 80-plus in the first half. You go, well, he didn't do anything in the second half. Yeah, they didn't have any carries.
Right.
They only ran three of the first 32 plays of the second half, and then by the time they got the ball back, you know, it was kind of, let's go throw the football mode.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they even stopped the run with committing to it last night, but you're right. You played a rookie quarterback in his first ever road game, in his second ever NFL game, who missed as many throws as he made almost.
Pretty much.
In Penix.
About 50% completion percentage, somewhere near it.
I was still impressed overall. He's got a big, strong arm. It's a live arm.
Yes.
He can throw the football all over the park, and you got to defend every blade of grass. He's going to be good. He also made a throw in the middle of the field that got blown up by Jeremy Chinn. That was ridiculous.
It's a dime, yeah.
Early in the game, and I was like, okay. He can do it.
He can do
it. Like,
yeah,
I'm
right.
A Michael Penix guy.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't see that throw made by that many quarterbacks. But he missed a million throws.
That was his problem at Washington a little bit, too. Just inaccuracy down and down out at times.
But point being, if that is the Rams and Matt Stafford, he's not missing those throws. If that is the Lions and Jared Goff, he's not missing those throws.
Yeah.
Right? So they're going to have to clean that up. My concerns would be the secondary, corner play.
Yeah.
Do you get Lattimore back? running the football and stopping the run. Yeah. You don't want to go into the playoffs having questions about running the football and stopping the run.
Yeah.
But that's for a different day. Still don't know who they're playing. Still don't know what that looks like. I do think they go to Dallas and whoop up on the Cowboys in Week 18, though.
I do, too. And I hope, and Jay kind of alluded to this, it acts as a get-right game for the traditional run game. Like, that's a front you should have success against. Even though in that first matchup, Grant, like, Jaden was your leading rusher in that football game, if I'm not mistaken. Like, so you struggled to run the ball against him the first time. I think you're right. They need to be able to run it to take and alleviate some of the pressure off of Jaden. Like, I'm all for the big-time moments and him making these splash plays, but it's got to be within reason, and I don't know how long you can rely on him making these Superman plays. I think he's capable of it. I just think last night you were on the right side of the result.
You want a minor in that. You don't want a major in it.
Right? Well put.
Like,
well put.
Last night, that was their offense in the second half, especially. It was Jaden make a play. You know, Daniels, go be great. Yeah. Do something spectacular. You want to have that bullet in the chamber when needed.
Yeah.
You need that club in your bag, but you don't want it to be your operation and your offense. But to that point, I want to get into this. So as they're going toe-to-toe with a Falcons team that needs to win to stay atop its division, at one point last night, I'm looking out on the field during a stoppage. It's commercial. Offense is huddling up. Jaden's kind of jumping up and down to try to stay warm. By the way, the weather, are you kidding me?
Beautiful.
Almost 60 degrees. Beautiful. Rain went away right before kickoff.
It's pneumonia weather, some people would say.
I mean, it is. Your boy can't keep his voice. Like, no. Is it hot? Is it cold? I'm in shorts today. I'm in a coat 2 days ago. What the hell's going on? But the weather was perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking at the offense, and I'm going, wait a second. Biotish was out. They had Dieter at center.
Mm-hmm.
Wiley, who didn't play in the game, was replaced by Lucas as a starter. Lucas leaves. Trent Scott is in. He's been a bit of a liability at times, a tackle. So that's 40% of your offensive line is now backups. And at the right tackle position, it's actually a third stringer. At wide receiver, no Noah Brown, no De'Ami Brown, obviously. So they were down to basically with McLaurin having one catch for 5 yards.
Yeah.
The Alameda Zaccheaus Jamison Crowder show last night.
A smash Ola, by the way.
It was a good show. Ertz was a monster.
Yeah.
John Bates made the one big 14-yard catch on a beautiful design.
The finish on his...
Oh.
Oh, my God. Concussion for the other guy had to be. That was violent.
I don't know how Bates stayed on the field.
He's just, but that's the type of stuff that gets other people geeked up, I feel like,
totally.
Too. Like, he's a war daddy, man.
That's just a physical, violent, big, heavy football play. That's their MO. Like, that's what they are.
Love it.
When Adam Peters took over in his opening press conference, he's like, there's a type of player we're going to bring in here. You're going to notice how the way we're going to play is going to be. And he used a bunch of words that every GM once, you know, uses in that press conference, introductory presser, where he's talking about being physical and violent and fast. But it's real. Like, they have a label. They got a commander tag that they use, and they want dogs. And Bates just, you're right, in the open field, that was violent.
I love that.
But anyway, I bring this up to say Zaccheaus, the ghost of Zach Ertz at 34 years old, Jamison Crowder, John Bates, who you think Zach Ertz is catch and fall.
Oh,
I don't know what the hell John Bates is.
Catch and stumble.
Chris Rodriguez, who was a 6th-round pick 2 years ago, who was your RB4. Jeremy McNichols. Like, that's your operation last night behind a line with a backup center and a third-string tackle. And Jaden Daniels goes 6 runs, 42 yards, 5 for 5, 30 yards, game-winning touchdown. They just keep chopping wood. It doesn't matter who's around him.
Does he not deserve more credit? And stick with me here for a second. The argument right now for Josh Allen winning MVP, Grant, is, well, he's doing it with nobody. It's Khalil Shakir. It's Dalton Kincaid. It's Curtis Samuel. Jaden's doing it with not the best guys either, man. And he's a rookie, and the expectations were low. And the team last year was the same, pretty much. You haven't made, you know, glaring upgrades offensively. You had a couple of new pieces up front, including a rookie tackle. He makes everybody better. Why can he not be in the MVP conversation? I'm not doing a homer bit.
No, I think he is, though. Like, where do you think he is in the odds right now, if you had to guess?
Probably, like, eighth best odds, I would
Seventh.
Okay.
I mean, he's
so
in
he's
the
right in the thick of the combo then.
But are you going to vote him the MVP over Josh Allen?
Of course not.
I wouldn't. I mean, here's
he's on the final ballot. Like at the honors, they show his montage.
Of course.
Like,
yeah, put a highlight of him in there if you want to. He's not a I would say a finalist is like top three. He's not going to be top three. That's not a crime. Only three guys get to be in the top three. That's how it works, right? Yeah,
that's true.
He's
I thought it was five for whatever reason.
Five in the top three, we could do that too.
Okay.
But like for Daniels, I just think we got to remember there was a month there. And if everyone, what we've done in this town has decided he can't actually have a bad game or he can't actually, you know, just not play well. So he obviously was extremely hurt more than we knew. Regardless, let's just say that's true.
Yeah.
Because he can't possibly just not be the best player on the field in every time he ever plays. He's the only guy that's never going to have a bad game. But there was like a month where he didn't play at that level.
True.
And they lost football games.
Because of it, I might add.
Absolutely.
Honestly,
like, if that didn't happen, he'd be third maybe or second or something right now.
That's fair.
But is he in the combo? Sure, he should be in the combo. But Allen, Lamar... I think Burrow's been the best quarterback in the league this year.
His numbers are ridiculous.
Even though the record is not going to allow him to win it because people are stupid. Saquon Barkley's not allowed to win it because he's a running back because people are stupid. Like, to me, they deserve to be MVPs over him. Here's what I'll say. Ryan, cover your ears. Like, a guy like Jared Goff, and I bought a ticket for Jared Goff as the MVP before the season. So I'm kind of contradicting myself here. But Jared Goff's had a magnificent season. He's had a better year, in my opinion, than Jaden Daniels, like consistently from the beginning to the end. Who's more valuable to their team? Jaden Daniels is.
Well, 100%. Especially, like, yeah. I think Goff's the most insulated quarterback in football right now, if you ask me.
But he's one of, like, Sam Darnold's also above him. I would put him in the same bucket.
I would say so.
So maybe I would move Daniels ahead of those two guys and say he should be fifth in the MVP.
That's fair.
Chase.
Common ground, we can meet at.
You know, something like that. But what they're doing with those guys, I don't think Cliff's getting enough credit. I want to talk about him next. Daniels is special. He is unique. He has changed the world for all of us here in D.C., and I hope he can sustain this and they can keep moving forward with him healthy and on the field, learning and developing and getting better. But let's make sure Cliff Kingsbury gets his roses because Alameda Zaccheaus is getting open. He had 10 catches in the league last year. He had 8 last night.
That's absurd. You know,
Jamison Crowder in 2024, the year of our Lord, is wide open. In Washington. He wasn't wide open for the Jets 4 years ago.
I was going to say, you probably wasn't wide open the first go-around here in D.C.
John Bates and Ben Sinnott and Zach Ertz, they're making plays at tight end. I guess not in Sinnott's case. He doesn't ever get the football. But my point is, Cliff Kingsbury deserves credit, too. It's not like he's just some goofball that, you know, Jaden Daniels is dragging along here.
No, not at all.
Grant and Danny on the fan, Austin Eckler in 15 minutes. Turning back the clock to 91 today, 33 years ago, the last time the Commanders were playoff bound with 11 wins. They have not won 11 games since your boy was in diapers. Linnell was not yet born. Many of our listeners have never experienced what they have this season. 11 wins. And you know what I love about this? The season's longer now. It's 18 games.
Yeah.
17 games, rather, over 18 weeks. But because of that, an 11-win season would kind of feel like, it's cool they did it, but they got an extra game. They did it in 16.
So there you go.
This was a real 11-win season, even by the old standards. They're going to probably win 12, and then you could have an asterisk if you want to on 12, because it used to be 12-4.
Yeah.
But 11 is the real deal. This is 11-5. They have not done it since they won a Super Bowl with Mark Rippon at quarterback and Joe Gibbs 1.0. But speaking of great offenses and great designers... How about Cliff Kingsbury?
Awesome.
Favorite play last night from Kingsbury would be what?
I think me and you may be on the same boat with this. There was actually, you know what? I'll go something else. They've showed this a couple of times. It's where they send Jaden Daniels in motion on the end around. It's the direct snap to B-Rob, and they haven't given it to Jaden on the end around yet.
Right.
Oh, but when they do, in that playoff game, Jaden's going to either bust off a huge run or the wide receiver that's lined up on that left side is going to be butt naked open.
I love that because they couldn't really run the ball the whole half.
Yeah.
And then B-Rob ripped off like 8 or something for a first down on 2nd and 1. And then they went hurry up.
That was the key, the tempo in that drive was huge.
It was, yeah. I mean, it was like 10 seconds, like Chip Kelly at Oregon or something, between snaps. They went tempo, direct snap. Jaden lined up at receiver. They probably called them both in the huddle, I'm sure.
And they've run this play before, right? If I'm not, maybe I'm tripping. I think they've run it.
They definitely have.
But they haven't given it to Jaden.
He's never tossed it back. He fakes the toss back so everyone sees the eye candy, and then he lowers his shoulders and gets up the field. And he picked up like 15 on those two carries back-to-back. I love that. My favorite play design was a fake also look, end-around look. They had Chris Rodriguez in the backfield. For one of the very rare, they never, ever, ever go under center, which is a little bit of a gripe for me, but how can you gripe about this offense? So they're under center, which they never do. Jaden turns to hand to Chris Rodriguez. Rodriguez, as if he's taking the ball, goes play action, and then immediately gets behind two pullers who are coming from the left. It's Allegretti, and I want to say it might have even been Biotish, guard and center. But they're coming left to center. Now, you know what? Watching it now, it looks like they pull Zacchaeus, who's in the slot. And so it's two pullers plus Allegretti, three out in front. Daniels then fakes a pitch back on an end around, keeps it, and it becomes quarterback power.
The cutest way to get QB power
off the right edge. Awesome. Awesome design. You could just run QB power like the Bills do. Direct snap to Josh Allen, and then he follows two guys. They did it differently, and it was actually K.J. Osborne, who is making his Commanders debut last night, who's out in front with Allegretti. They faked the pitch back to Zacchaeus, but it was sexy. I love that. And then the other play that Cliff drew up last night that was just a 10 out of 10 was their first fourth down of the game. Touchdown to Zacchaeus. It was like a triple option, essentially.
Yes.
RPO.
Yep.
They fake a handoff. Jaden keeps the ball rolling to his left. He's got Sinnott for 2 yards for a first down, turns him down. He's got Zacchaeus wide open in the end zone, or he can keep running.
Yeah.
And he throws to Zacchaeus for a touchdown. But I thought Kingsbury had another great game. He's had an awesome season. I worry they lose him. I don't know why he would leave this situation with Daniels unless he gets the Bears job with Caleb Williams.
So I don't worry as much about them losing him because I'm such a big fan of the guys around him, especially with the run game stuff and how multiple and diverse they've been. You know, the offensive line coach, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, GP, has a pretty big influence in drawing up the run game in most offenses across
the National
Football League.
Bobby Johnson's the guy.
You know what I'm saying? I think he's a sneaky candidate
But Brian Johnson did not succeed as a play caller in Philly last year, and no one else on the staff has done it.
Well, I'll say this about Brian Johnson.
So how could you not be worried about possibly losing Kingsbury?
Because with the Brian Johnson thing last year in Philly, I think we can see there were clearly bigger issues than him. I think there was an internal thing.
I mean, but you're confident and sold. They don't miss a beat if Kingsbury walks.
You know why? As long as Five's in there, I think you can make it go.
I hope you're right. Here's the thing I will say. Mm-hmm. When we talked about is Quinn versus other coaching candidates, you talk about what if the OC leaves. If you got Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar, nothing else matters. Do they have one of those guys? If they do, certainly playing like it most of this year, then you're right. Nothing will matter. But I'm not ready to hang him, his jersey in those rafters just yet.
I feel that.
I need a little more. I need more time. I need another year or two before I put him in the pantheon with those guys. But that's long been my concern. Where I feel okay about Kingsbury not leaving, again, it's a pretty good situation I'm offering you.
For sure.
I'm a pretty good catch here. I got number 5. Yep. You don't have to be a head coach, which I heard he didn't love all of the stuff that came with that. He hates doing media. He just wants to write plays on a napkin, right? And he gets to do all that stuff here. The only other job that would be interesting. So if the Bears job with Caleb Williams opens up, it is open rather, but if it became a possibility for him, I could see him leaving. What if the Patriots fired Jerod Mayo and you have the number 1 pick and Drake May?
That's
the number 1 pick, which you could turn into God knows what on the trade market. Like, you could just redo the whole org basically with one haul. And you've got the youngest quarterback in the league who looks like a baller.
That's
enticing. A job that... So there might be two that would be enticing to him, which, again, makes me nervous.
Just shows you the importance of quarterback, because outside of Drake May, what the hell is enticing about the Patriots job?
Well, it's horrible. Yeah.
But it just shows you how important quarterback is.
I don't think they're going to fire Mayo, do you?
I think there's going to be, I don't know. I don't think so, because it doesn't seem very craft-like.
It doesn't.
You know?
That's his guy, too. He's been grooming him for years for that.
I hate that, though, by the way. I've never seen this situation. You've been covering the league longer than I have seen more. You remember the last head coach in waiting there was? I mean, this is a weird bit they're doing.
I mean, there's guys that get listed that it doesn't always work out that way.
You know, so.
Supposedly Greg Williams was a head coach in waiting here, and then Jim Zorn was the next man up.
Oh, are you trying to make me laugh with that?
No, that's
did a good
true.
Job
that's just
it.
What actually happened.
That's bad.
But
explains things, huh?
If they stay together and you go get real talent, you go get it's not going to be T. Higgins at wide receiver.
I can't wait till the offseason.
Just get a stud at wide receiver. Like,
I don't know if you need that, though, Grant. He's shown you already that he elevates everybody around
you. I agree,
so
elevate a stud. I mean, it's still add talent. They have money.
Sure.
They should spend it. They're not the Nationals. They have draft picks. They should use them. Like, if they had, I'm just making this up right now, but like let's just say T. Higgins at receiver and Ashton Jeanty at running back. In this, like, with Kingsbury and Daniels.
I'm starting to sweat over here when you say that.
You could just dream a little bit with an offseason coming up of what things could look like. And then you got to find a way to recapture the magic of the brotherhood and fit the locker room, right?
Got to get it rocking.
Like, having more talent does not make you a better football team.
No.
Right? So they've got to be able to make it all work. And it's not just going to be going and getting the best running back and the best receiver. I get that. But to be able to marry the brotherhood thing with a little more talent, like,
it raises the ceiling for sure.
They've been a top 10 offense and a team that won 11, 12 games with a easy enough schedule that didn't beat many good teams. Maybe next year you could be a top 5 offense and a 13-win team against a hard schedule that beats a lot of good teams.
This is such fun problems to have. It's not a problem, but like roster construction moving forward is going to be a fascinating topic, because I don't think you need to go break the bank at wide receiver, because he's proven he can elevate guys.
One of the weapons they should have next year, if he chooses to keep on keeping on, is Austin Eckler. Let's talk to him about his future next, live on Grant and Danny. Key member of this offense and the playoff-bound Commanders joins us on The Fan.